three floors.
Exactly.
Small rooms.
Right. So we had talked about yesterday the. Okay, so the Mishnah begins Ushlosha Ushmona. Shlosha Vishmona Ta in Hayusham. We talked about yesterday that a ta in modern Hebrew is a cubby of some sort or something similar. So again, we talked about they had these little rooms. These little rooms were in different places. We're going to talk more about these little rooms today, so let's talk about them. Shloshim Ushmona Taim Hayusham. There were 38 of these little rooms. And here's how they were assembled around the courtyard. Chamisha asar batzafon, chamisha asar badarom, ushmona b'marav. So there were 15 in the north, 15 in the south, and 8 in the west. Shebatzafon v'shebadarom, those that were in the north and south, where were 15 each. So here's how they looked. They weren't just 15 little booths, but rather, just like real cubbies, chamisha al gabe chamisha. There were 5 on top of 5, v'chamisha agabehem, and then there were another 5 on top. So 3 stories of 5 little rooms each. V'sheba ma'arav. Okay, so again, this was in the north and the south. What about those 8 that remained on the west? V'sheba ma'arav.
Shmona.
Shlosha agabe shlosha. Right, there were 3 on top of 3, so you had 2 stories of 3. U'shnayim agabehem, and then 2 upper chambers. Okay, so that way you have 8 there, that way you have 38 in total. 15 and 15 on the north and the south, and 8 on the west, and the north and the south were 5, 5, 5, 3 stories of 5, whereas the west was 2 stories of 3s, so 3, 3, followed by a 2. And that's how you get 8. Ushlosha ptachim hayu lechol echad ve'echad, and there were 3 openings to each one of them. Okay, exactly what's going on here, we're going to see in a minute. So here's how the openings would be. In order to get into these rooms, here were the openings. Echad latamin hayamin. One would be from the right side. Okay. Number 2, ve'echad latamin asmol. One from the left side. Ve'echad latasha al gabav, and one from the roof. Very interesting. Okay. Obviously, if one of them was, well, we'll see exactly how this works. Uvekeren mizrachit tzfonit. However, in the northeastern corner, hayu chamisha ptachim. That cubby actually had 5 entrances. Echad latamin hayamin. One was from the right, bechad latash al gabav, and one was on top. And now we're going to see, since if you think about it, I guess from the perspective of the person writing the Mishnah, the northeastern corner, okay, did not have one next to it to enter from, so there was none from the left, right? V'echad latash al gabav, v'echad la mesiba. One went directly into this thing called the mesiba, which we didn't talk about when I was here, at least that I remember. Yeah. But basically, it's some sort of elevated platform that seems to have been. It's basically it sloped up. It sounds like from east to west, and it reached the roofs of these again little cubby rooms. V'echad la pishpesh.
He suggests that it's like a ramp.
Yeah, it's a ramp that goes up, though, to the top of the thing. It definitely is a ramp. That's what Tiferes Yisrael says, at least. Or it may have been some sort of special stairs, but it was something, basically, that was elevated. It had to reach an elevation in order to get to this top area. That's the bottom line, is we've never heard of this. Okay, well, it's at the top here. It must have gone up in some way. Okay, v'echad la pishpesh. One was directly to the pishpesh, which was the smaller little entrance inside to get into the heichal, and v'echad la heichal, one to the heichal itself. Okay, because again, these were on the outside, and now these are the entrances.
All right, so you can get into the heichal. How do you drop down, jump out the door?
Yeah,
slather down.
Yeah, perhaps there was a way to get down.
I need to enter into the space that was
correct. Yeah, maybe a ladder or something. I don't know.
Or maybe they didn't use it as a point of egress.
Just right. My guess is when they wanted to go, they would go through the pishpesh.
Yeah.
Which there was an entrance to it. Although, I wonder if these were somehow lower. We'll see later on. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if these were somehow lower relative to the heichal. We'll see how high the heichal was. Maybe it was not such a big drop, or maybe it was a little ramp area. I don't know. Okay. Hatachtona. So now this is going to explain to us how they were laid out, one on top of the other. We would assume, just from the description that I read in the last Mishnah, that they were directly boxes on top of each other. That, however, was not the case. So hatachtona, the bottom, basically, when you would put these small rooms, which we're going to talk about their size a little bit more. Their floors were 5 amos long. Veroved, and essentially what ends up being their ceiling, okay, which would be serve as the floor of the next one, was actually 6. Va'emtza'it, and therefore the middle cubbies, 6, their floors were 6 amos long. Veroved 7, and their ceiling was 7, meaning there was an overhang beyond each of these cubbies, in which the next cubby would be built on slightly longer. Okay, so it's not necessarily moving back and forth, it still stays above the same area that you were in, but it also is slightly larger on the back. Okay, that you add one more amma each time. Ve'alyona sheva, and the top one was 7, Shene'emar, it says in Malachim, presumably about the first Beis HaMikdash, Hayatziya tachtona 5 b'amarachba, v'tichona 6 b'amarachba, v'shishit 7 b'amarachba. That, again, the bottom one was 5 amos, the middle one 6, and the third one was 7. Okay, I'm sure you have some nice pictures here. But you'll see basically how, again, it extends one amma back each time further. Okay, now we get to talk about the Mesiba. Again, we know that it's something that went up in height, so let's see exactly how that works. But the bottom line is we have these 38 cubby rooms. They each have 3 doors, except for one of them, which has 5 doors because it's closest to the Heichal. You've got 15 on the north, 15 on the south, 8 on the west. They're stacked upon each other in increasing area, or I should say increasing volume, technically speaking, of the rooms by one amma further in length so each time.
Some buildings like that in Israel, so they can have a sukkah on the balcony.
Yes, 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 exactly.
We go back
Yes, that's why they do it in Israel, I know. Yeah, I'm going to be in Israel for Sukkot, so I'm looking forward to that.
Terrific. But the Brit and the Jewish have an idea of why they constructed the cubbies in that manner?
Sorry, it's hard to hear.
Sorry, do you have any clue as to why they were constructed in this manner?
Well, we have a Pasuk. The Mishnah quotes the Pasuk, presumably, and again, it's always tough to... it's one of my pet peeves when I teach Torah, is in especially in Halacha and in Gemara learning and things like this, we tend to look at 2 types of analysis and 2 types of motivating factors for doing something. What people will call the proof and the logic. Sometimes we can bring a proof to something, even though we don't understand the svara as to why it might be that way, but we know that this is what it was. Okay, that's one type. There's a piece of evidence that states this was the case. For example, I know that the halacha is you can't do this on Shabbos. I have no idea why. But in a Gemara or Halacha discussion, that is a good enough proof in order to determine that something was indeed like that. The other way we analyze in Halacha is to look at it in terms of the Svara, the logic behind it, in which case we can apply something logical to explain this concept. But those are 2, hopefully, things that we can make work together. And a lot of the literature is finding the svara for the proof and bringing proofs to the svara. But ultimately, you just need one or the other in order to establish something. And in this case, we're establishing based on a proof that this is what it says in Malachim about the first Beis HaMikdash. Now, I would imagine when and if we know the purposes of each of these 38 rooms, there might be rooms that needed more space. And this is a nice architecturally pleasing and space-saving way to ensure that. So that's my attempt at a svara, but ultimately I don't know.
We just finished 4.
Okay.
Yeah,
we just finished Mishnah 4. Again, we just finished 4-4, now we're up to 4-5. Okay, we're up to the Mesiba again, which was this was accessible from the northeasternmost cubby.
He translates Mesiba seriously as a kamin keves, a type of ramp.
Yeah, that's others write that as well.
Yeah.
Bartanura kein mechila ara, which is a little bit interesting.
Yeah.
But let's you can see over here they have lots of nice pictures.
If
I don't know if you have pictures there. But I don't know if you have any pictures there. Again, some people felt... It's very interesting. A lot of these pictures are just...
It actually shows it as a ramp.
Right. Yeah, there's a machloka. Some people say it was a set of stairs. It was a fancy set of stairs. It's interesting. A lot of the pictures that are in there actually have their bases. They accompanied earlier printings and earlier commentaries.
Sure.
And sometimes were very, very ancient pictures that were just updated by the art scroll. There's a guy online who does research on all these things.
And they claim the copyright. And they cleaned also, a copy, right?
Of the cleaned up picture, yeah.
Yeah.
Not of the original picture. Yeah. I don't think they... I think it's out of copyright by now.
Change one thing.
Anyways, let's talk about the Misibah. Misibah hita ola. Mikaren mizrachit zvonit lekaren zvonit maravit. So it would go up from the northeastern corner to the northwestern corner. Sheba hayu olim legagot ha-taim. And that's how they would access, as we said, the roofs of this third layer of cubby rooms. Haya ole b'misibah ufanav l'ma'arav. So now it's going to talk about if a kohen or if a person was going up this ramp or stairs and was facing west. Hilech al kol p'nei ha-tzafon. You would go across the entire northern side, ad shumagi el ma'arav, until you would reach the western side. Higi el ma'arav, afafanal v'darom, then you would face south. Hilech kol p'nei ma'arav, walk the entire southern edge, ad shumagi el darom, and then you would finally reach the south. Higi el darom, afafanal v'mizrach, then you would turn around. Okay, we're just talking about someone who's basically walked up the ramp and is walking around the outside of the building on this elevated platform. Okay? Hayam aleich v'darom, ad shumagi el fitcha shel aliyah, until you would reach the opening of the aliyah, which was the, he says, the upper, the roof of the heichal, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, that's where you were. Shepitcha shel aliyah patuach laderom, because that's where it was open to. You couldn't access it from any other side. This is the side, you could only access it from the south side. Uvpitcha shel aliyah, and inside the opening of the, again, second story of the heichal, really, or the roof of the heichal, hayu shnei klunsaot shel erez. Okay.
Wooden pillars.
There would be exactly wooden, these thick, two wooden, thick wooden pillars.
Mm-hmm. Cedar.
Shebahin hayu olin ligaga shel aliyah. And through them, you would go up to the roof of the aliyah. It's not clear exactly how you use pillars to go up. Is it, you know, some sort of gymnastics routine, or does it just mean that there were these two pillars at the side as there was an elevation going up? But the bottom line is these two pillars were prominently placed in the aliyah getting up to, again, maybe it's again some sort of ladder. They had these two pillars with the ropes between them. I don't know the exact specifics, neither do the Mefarshim. I'll argue about what it is, but ultimately this is what you had. Okay. Shepitcha shel aliyah patuach, sorry. Shebahen ayolin lekagash aliyah, v'rashet pispesin mavdilin ba'aliyah, and you had these things that were sticking out of the wall, little beams sticking out of the wall, and they actually would serve to indicate bein hakodesh bein kodesh hakadoshim. Because if you're on the roof of the heichal, you didn't want to go over the roof of the kodesh hakadoshim for no reason. That's a very, very special place. So you had these little beam indicators telling you this is where you would normally have the parochet, you would normally have the divide between the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKadoshim down below in the actual Heichal. Okay, because we're walking on the roof, so this is an indicator, up until here is on top of the Kodesh, now it's on top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, be careful. Now, by the way, you should know, the Kodesh HaKadoshim sometimes had to be serviced. So how did you service the Kodesh HaKadoshim? You had to have access from the roof. Vilulin hayu p'tuchin ba'aliyah levet Kodesh HaKadoshim. There were actually holes in the, again, upper floor and in the roof to go inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shebahen hayu mishel shelina ta'umanim batevot. What they would do is they had this elevator system, essentially. Okay, they had a pulley system with boxes, and the boxes were basically covered from, at the very least, they had a floor to stand on, and at the very least three sides. I mean, if they need to fix something in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so you had to have one side open so the guy could do his work, but they would lower him in a box that was covered from the two sides and behind. Why? Kedei shelo yazunu einehem mibeit Kodesh HaKadoshim, in order that their eyes should not sort of feed off of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, meaning you shouldn't be looking unnecessarily at any part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We know, of course, that the Kohen Gadol is only permitted to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim once a year on Yom Kippur with a whole process. So obviously you got to take care of it. If they found out something was wrong in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so they sent the guy in, I guess between Yom Kippur and Sukkot or something, they lowered him down on this pulley system and this elevator, and he would fix it. But since they didn't want him looking all around, they would put him exactly where he needed to be. He'd have an opening in front of him, and he'd, you know, fix up.
So they would somebody would have to inspect it to find out where.
Presumably it was done by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. He noticed, oh gosh, you know, it's really worn out on this wall.
Okay.
Let's send someone down. That's why I said between Yom Kippur and Sukkot.
Okay, after Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Why would they have to lower from the roof? Why not
Because he can't enter.
Because if you go in the other way, you're unnecessarily exposed, and you have exactly it's the same process of the Kohen Gadol. I guess it's less disrespectful to, you know, lower someone down from the roof. It's like we want you to be in there as short as possible, to be exposed to as little as possible, because the only person who walks through the front door is the Kohen Gadol.
You just sound like an angel.
And they're concerned that the Shechina might be there too, so that's why he can't look.
Yeah. Yeah,
because they're visualizing. That's what do they call it? They can, like human.
It's like the bank robber.
Anthropomorphize.
Anthropomorphize. Yes. You shouldn't be able to see like this, whatever it is that's supposed to be, not supposed to be seen.
Kind of.
That's it's also
but it's,
to avoid the exposure to all the security things.
Yeah.
It's the same kind
it's the same,
of
same idea.
You got
they had security.
Well, no, but
it sounds like it was pretty, pretty secure to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see in the movie,
you see,
you have all
what they've done is they've made the Shekhinah into something that you could see, because they didn't want him to see it.
Yeah.
For us to understand. That's anthropomorphism.
Yep. That's exactly what it is. The Torah does that too.
Okay.
V'ha'echal. So let's talk about the measurements of all of the different things. We're going to talk about the...
Can I have a question? Sure. Can we go a little, just a little bit slower?
Sure.
Just so I can follow in terms of the language.
For sure.
Thanks.
This is why I'm going to have to sit around for a while, get
That's
used
why,
to
I
the pacing. No, you should absolutely keep... Anytime there's anything, by the way, please do feel free to approach me. If you don't want to tell me in the middle of this year, tell me after this year. But I need to learn... on the job.
The nature of the crowd.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hechal. So in regards to the Hechal, let's talk about its measurements. Me'a al me'a. It is 100 by 100. Arum me'a with a height of 100. Okay, so it's basically a giant cube of 100 amos. Ha'otem shesh amot. So otem, what does it mean to be atum in Hebrew?
Sealed up.
Sealed up. Okay. So ha'otem, the part that was sealed up, which was basically the foundation of the Heichal. Okay, so the floor basically had six amos underneath it. Okay, ha'otem shesh amot. This was
basement.
Yes, but it was a filled basement.
Yeah,
it was again really just like a foundation for the thing, and this was shesh amot into the air. Okay, v'gavho, and the actual empty space inside, from ground level to ceiling, was arba'im ama, 40 amot. So now we've got 46 in total. Ama kiyur, not the kiyor, which was what you washed with, but kiyur, which means the beautified part. There was basically one ama of beautiful drawings. We talked a little bit about what it looked like at the entrance before. Mm-hmm. Okay, and this was on the wall, so one ama thick of height of drawings, ve'amatayim beit dilfa. Okay, then we had the two amot of beit dilfa. So he basically says this was basically a connection between
boards.
The walls, exactly between different boards, with the top there. So now we've got 49 ve'amatikra. Now this gets us up to 50. The actual boards that were of the ceiling, ve'amama aziva. And then another ama of cement that they would put on top of the boards. This is how, basically, they would create ceilings. If you learn Masechet Sukkah, in Masechet Sukkah, it talks about these different layers, Tikra Shein Olam Aziva. But basically, the way you had it was, you had boards followed by, it was plastered on top. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, essentially what this means, in English terms, as he explains over here, as I'm translating, the actual ceiling was 5 amot tall. There is one amma of beautifying, two amos of connector, one amma of boards, and one amma of plastering. Mm-hmm. Okay? This goes on top of the 40 amot of the Heichal itself.
It, I mean, it says here that the height, the total height was 100 amot.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's going to include the upper level. We're not up to the upper level. We're just up to the ceiling. That's why we're just over 50.
But that ramp or stairs going up
reached very high.
On the south side was very, very steep, probably 45 degree angle on it.
No, because you had the ability to go up around the entire perimeter of the courtyard, right? That's why the Mishnah tells you that you were walking around. Right? Remember when around the you could only enter from the south?
Okay, this picture, it looks like you're reaching the top just on the south side, but.
So it could be that's how the picture understood it, in which case it would be a lot steeper, yes. It would be a very steep ramp. I didn't necessarily understand that was the case just from my reading of the Mishnah.
Right.
It could be that's one opinion.
No, this shows an extension of the building, the picture, where the ramp hits the top. There's a rampart around the building.
Right. But
where they walked around.
Right.
There's an extension of the building on the bottom. So
right.
That's where they have. You got that picture there?
The thing is, to reach this height, I would imagine this would be taller than all of those little rooms, no? Mm-hmm. Meaning you have to be able to access from the same rampart to the tallest of the three rooms.
Right.
Right? So I don't know if it went up afterwards or if this was on a lower part of the rampart. But I would imagine that if it went up all on one side, it would be a very, very high angle and would be quite the hike for the Kohen to get up. If it went a little bit higher as you went around, you have a lot more space to do
right.
that in.
Right, okay. So,
yeah, and the picture's probably not totally accurate.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know. It's just my first impression when reading
the Mishnah. This is the impression of the person that's interpreting it.
Yeah.
But nowhere have we read that there's really an extension. They talked about a hyle, which was a little thin area, which is
right.
not more wide.
Right.
But this doesn't show that.
But that's around
yeah.
a larger...
Around, that's
yeah.
right.
Okay. Okay, so anyways, now we've got... V'shalosh amot ma'akeh. Sorry, okay. V'gofa shel aliyah. Now we get up to the actual... the second floor of the Heichal. Okay, we said there's a second floor and a roof on top of that. Okay, let's talk about the second floor. Gofa shel aliyah, the second floor was 40. Okay, so again, we had 40 plus 6... plus 5 is 51, plus another 40, we're at 91. Okay? The amakiyur, and then again, that whole fancy setup for the ceiling, which is comprised of at least 5. So amakiyur, amatayim beit yilfa, I'm going to slow down here. So the one of the beautifying, the two of the connectors, amatikra, the one ama of the boards, the amama aziva, and the one ama of plaster, giving us another 5. Okay, so each floor was essentially 45 each. Plus 6 of foundation. So where do we get the last 4 from? What do we do with the last 4? Here we have a machlokas. The Tanakama, which we're currently reading, the first opinion of the Mishnah says, v'shalosh amot ma'akeh. Obviously on the Beis HaMikdash there was a ma'akeh. A ma'akeh is a fence around the roof so that no one falls off. The Torah tells us there's an obligation to build a fence around every roof so people don't fall off your roof. So there were 3 amos of ma'akeh and v'amak kale orev. And one that whose purpose was...
Scarecrow.
It's a scarecrow. Not a scarecrow. It's a kill crow.
It was... To scare the crows, right.
It's not clear if it was actually a kill crow. I may be overreacting. But it says basically it was very, very sharp. Right. Yes. Yeah. So basically it was very, very, very sharp edges on top of it. And if the crow would land on it, I wouldn't want to be the crow. Put it that way. So this is how we reach the total of 100, because we had our 45, 45, 6 on the bottom, and an extra 4 on the top.
And an aside of that is, those of you who've been to Yerushalayim will notice that every roof has a ma'akeh in Yerushalayim. Every roof has a fencing around it. It's
as it should.
It's the bylaw of the city.
Yep, and of the Torah.
Of the Torah, right.
Built-in bylaw of the city.
Right.
You can't change it. Right. Rabbi Yehuda Omer... Rabbi Huda says, "Lo haye kale orev ole min hamidai." Says that's not the building. You can't say that that some spikes, you know, to keep away. That's not part of the actual building. I understand the fence is part of the building. I would consider that the height of the building. You're going to call some little scarecrow things part of the building? No way. Ela arba amot hayamakeh. Rather, there were 4 amot of ma'akeh. Rabbi Huda presumably agrees that on top of that there was an amak kale orev, or even less, right? But the point is. The actual building is counted as 100 because that's where the ma'akeh reaches.
You said the ma'akeh was about 5 feet high. That's a pretty high fence.
What do you mean for the 3?
Yeah, if it's Arba Amot.
Arba Amot would be more. Feet. Would be 6 feet.
It's 20 inches times 4. Yeah. 80 inches, right. More than 5. 6 feet.
Yeah. So, anyways, it's...
Pretty big.
Yeah.
Yes.
A wall.
Don't forget, it's a temple. It's Space Bikdash, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, it's... Just the idea that it's 100 of them is like 300 feet high.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
no,
huge.
150 feet.
150 feet, yeah. Yeah.
Pretty big.
So, listen, it was really beautiful. And again, if anybody would like a picture, I'm happy to show for.
Is that like 15 stories?
You know what? You could also.
Yes, I think we say stories. Could,
yeah.
See it over here.
That is a good illustration. But we have, you know, the other thing is talking. Sorry, this edifice had to stand out throughout. You'd see it for miles because remember, the mountain has been cut down by the Romans, which you see today, right? So it must have been really high, and you could see it for miles around.
Uh-huh.
And it was in the center of the Hara Moria.
Yeah.
So we got to visualize it that way, not the way you visualize the mountain today.
Yeah. Okay. Good to continue?
Yep.
Okay.
Mishnah
Zayin.
Another collateral observation. Yeah. You'll notice also that the Arabs will put their mosques on the highest place in each town. And the Christians, when they came to Canada, put not only the churches, but they put the city hall or the main edifice of the building on the highest place in town.
Interesting.
Right?
I did not know that.
It's very interesting. Well, I needed that because when I went to a small town, I needed to go to the courthouse. The courthouse was always the highest place of town in the city hall.
Okay.
But these things are all from the Torah. Everything's from the Torah. Unbelievable.
It's true. Now, Mizrach l'Ma'arav, from east to west, Me'a'ama. Now, again, we're doing our measurements. Okay? So let's see how we get that. And here, let's... because we already explained how it's 100 high. We didn't explain how it's 100 wide and long yet. So let's see the 100 wide. Here we go. Kotel ha'olam chamesh. Here we're talking about basically from front to back. Okay, we're going from east to west. So we're going to start basically from the front of the ulam, going all the way back through the end of the Kodesh HaKadashim. So kotel ha'olam chamesh. You've got the wall of the ulam itself was 5. Va'ulam achadasrei, then the actual ulam, which again we called the antechamber before, was 11 amot, so that's 16. Kotel ha'echal shesh, then the wall of the actual heichal itself, again, we're including the ulam in this calculation, was another 6. Okay, so we've got now 22. Vitocho arba'im, then we've got another 40 for the inside of the actual heichal. Okay. Amatraxin, then you had what's known as the Amatraxin. This was the Amma that was between the curtains of the Kodesh HaKodashim. So you had basically a gap of one Amma between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim.
Mm-hmm.
Ve'esrim Amma be Kodesh HaKodashim, and then another 20 in the Kodesh HaKodashim.
Total
100. Okay, so we're not up to 100 yet, right? We've got the 40 of the inside, the 20 of the inside of the Kodesh HaKodashim, that's 60. One in between, 61. Okay, plus another, we said 22. So we're up to 83. Kotel ha'echal shesh, the wall of the heichal on the back, okay, on the back side of the heichal, is another 6. So 89. Ve'hata shesh, and then the cubbies that were there were 6. Ve'kotel hata chamesh, and the wall of the cubbies were another 5. Okay, this was on the back. So he notes that, yes, the middle cubbies were this length, so that's how they got to this number, because we talked about how they were really 5, 6, and 7, the three layers of cubbies.
Was he saying that this was behind?
Behind the Kodesh HaKadashim. And that's how you could access them from this same rampart, I guess.
Yeah, the diagrams are very helpful.
But these were the remember there were 8 cubbies on the west?
Yeah.
So that's what we're referring to. Yeah, I'll see if I have a picture here. Don't have a very good picture.
Well, they have it up here, up and down. Do you have the up and down one?
Yeah, well, that's on the previous page. On the next page, you actually have the whole two-dimensional thing.
Okay.
Oh, yeah,
there
okay.
You go. Okay, so this explains the, again, whatever you want to call it, length or width of the heichal. Okay?
Well.
So now, min hatzafon ladarom. However, going from north to south, right? You have to remember, the height was consistent throughout. The length in the widest part, because the way the ulam worked, the way the antechamber worked, right, is kind of like a T shape almost, which I'm sure you all have in front of you in some form or fashion. So we've measured it smack through the middle going from east to west? What about the opposite direction, the north to south, in different places? Right? We've measured, again, the T part, we said, was the top of the T, so to say. The longest part, that was 100. What about the other part? Says, actually, the rest of it was only 70. Okay? Kotel ha-misibah chamesh. So the actual wall of the Misibah, which again, which was this raised platform, which you were able to access the second layer from, the second floor from. So Kotel ha-misibah chamesh, the wall of it was 5. Va-misibah and the actual passage itself, the walkway itself, was 3. So 5 and 3 is 8. Kotel ha-ta chamesh. Next to it you had the cubby rooms, so that was another 5 in the wall, ve-ha-ta sheish, and another 6 in the actual room. So now we've got 8, 13, 19. Kotel ha-echal sheish, now we've got up to 25 with the wall of the hechal. These were very, very thick walls, as you can tell. Ve-ha-ta sheish. Oops, sorry. Ve-tocho esrim ama, and the inside, I jumped down one line with the same words. Ve-tocho esrim ama, and the inside of the hechal was 20 amot wide. And then what are we going to do? Go back to the other side, which was not 100% identical. The two sides were not 100% identical. Let's see. So again, Kotel ha-echal sheish, the second wall of the kotel on the other side was 6. Va-ta sheish, the next set of cubbies was 6. Ve-kotel ha-ta chamesh, and the next wall of the cubby rooms were another 5. Uveit horadat ha-mayim 3 amot, the place where they would lower the water, was 3 amot. Ve-kotel chamesh amot, and finally the last wall was another 5. Okay, this was called Beit horadat ha-mayim. He says that's where basically it was the eavesdrop system. It was the eavesdrop system, so they would not have water staying on the roof of the Beit HaMikdash. They would chuck it down there. So you had this, there was the, you can even see it again in some of the pictures, basically where the piping would go to bring it off the roof. You add this up all together, you will get 70 amot that it goes across from north to south in the places that is not the ulam, which is longer. Ha'ulam odef alav, and the ulam itself, which we said was 100 across, Odef alav 15 ama min hatzafon va 15 ama min hadarom. And it had an addition of 15 amot on both sides. On each side, meaning a total of 30. Vihu haya nikra, and these additions, this extra length that it had, or width really, that if we're looking at it face on, was called Beit HaChalifot. Okay, Beit HaChalifot is the house of switches. What exactly happened there? Okay, says the Mishnah, Shesham gonzim et hasakinim. That's where they would hide the slaughter knives, the shechita knives. That's where they would put them away each day. Okay? Then it was, I'm not sure why it was called chalifot specifically. He says why. Oh, they were called. Oh, you call it a chalaf is a shechita knife. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's what's called beit chalifot, the place where they kept the chalafs. Okay. V'haichal tsar me'acharav. Virachav milafanav vidomela ari. And the Mishnah has a final perspective here, just as we finish up in our last minute here. If you looked at the Hechal, therefore, as a whole, what did you see? In the front, it was wider, because you had these extra 30 amot, whereas in the back, it was skinnier, because it was only 70 amot there. And this was similar to a lion, right? What do we think of a lion? The lion's mane is even larger than its body. That's the imagery, and it says, it's Pasukin Yeshaya, Hoy Ariel Ariel Kiryat Chana David. It describes Kiryat Chana David, which presumably is the Beit HaMikdash, as an Ariel, as a lion. Maha Ari, Tsar Me'acharav, Rachav Milfanav, just like a lion. Again, you've got the huge, scary mane at the front. So too, Afayichal, Tsar Me'acharav, Virachav Milfanav. So too, the Heichal was skinnier at the back and wider at the front. And this is why the Beit HaMikdash is described as an Ari or an Ariel, as a lion, because of this image and impression that you get. Again, it also is true from an architectural perspective. Again, you've got this big sort of front entranceway. It's really something that is very impressive. And is exactly, that is the purpose of that. It's exactly 7:10, so we finished at a great time. Sure.